The new Portals of Prayer devotional Bible is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October. This devotional resource contains the entire English Standard Version of the Bible with 700 devotions from Portals of Prayer. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or learn more about Portals of Prayer devotional Bible by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Portals of Prayer devotional Bible.
So if our position is going to be, I'm not going to be involved in this and wait until they tell me that I can't say Jesus died for your sins, the second they tell you you can't say these things are sins without punishment, they're telling you that you can't preach that Jesus died for those sins.
No, everyone is not a minister. You are baptized a Christian, you become a minister or a pastor.
In fact, we should not imitate Luther in his weakness and his bad behavior and be quite ready and willing, of course, to disagree with him if he disagrees with the Holy Scripture.
There is a general belief within evangelicalism that the gospel is the thing that is preached to the unbeliever. The gospel is in the rearview mirror pretty much for the rest of your Christian life.
Farmers in South Dakota listen to issuesetc.org while combining our corn and feeding the world.
Frequent guest here on Issues Etc., Dr. Ryan Anderson, was speaking a couple years ago at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference, and he is the guy who literally wrote the book on what he calls the transgender moment, and he reminded the audience that the Trump administration is not a rewind on the sexual revolution at the advance of the LGBTQ agenda. Not a rewind, but he said merely a pause, and perhaps a very brief pause indeed. The Democratic field is full of hopefuls who want to occupy the White House. One of them, Elizabeth Warren, is doubling down on President Obama's agenda for the LGBTQ agenda in our public schools. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Monday afternoon, October the 28th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, will be our guest to talk about Democratic presidential candidate Elizabeth Warren on transgenderism and the public schools. A little bit later, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will join us as we begin our Reformation Week's Path to Lutheranism series. Today, first, Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer from Catholic, Baptist, and Liberal Lutheranism. Then we'll be talking with Professor Adam Kuntz, Assistant Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in the series Paths to Lutheranism. Talk about from Anglicanism to Lutheranism. Joining us to discuss presidential candidates Elizabeth Warren on transgenderism and public schools, Joy Pullman, managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled, Elizabeth Warren Wants to Trans Public Schools Harder Than Obama Did. Joy, welcome back.
Hi there, Todd. Thanks for asking me.
What did the Warren campaign recently reveal about its candidates' plans for our public schools and the transgender agenda?
Well, Elizabeth Warren, who is in some polls the front runner right now for the Democratic nomination for president, competing with Joe Biden, her education plan says that she would put back into place regulations that Obama put into place when he was president, as well as push for a new law that would essentially create what they call a SOGI law, Sexual Orientation and Gender Identity Act, that applies to schools. So what this basically means is creating legal preferences for someone who classifies themselves as being in an LGBT affiliation.
What is the Safe Schools Improvement Act that Warren speaks of?
That's what I just mentioned. That is basically the SOGI law that will apply to public schools. And it claims to provide for non-discrimination, but what it really does is discriminates against people who do not have one of these protected classes designations after their name. So it's kind of adding to, we already have in lots of federal laws, all these sorts of special baskets of people, such as women, people who are non-white, and disabled people. And so all these variety of classes where people have special rights that people not in them have, and this would create that for people, LGBT people in public schools. So what that would look like in practice, we've seen in public schools around the country, for example, requiring girls to allow biological boys into their restrooms, onto their athletic events, even go to overnight accommodations for things like band camp or athletic camps or debate camp, that sort of thing. You know, boys and girls have been roomed together with the boy claiming to be a girl. And in fact, school policies that I've looked at have included not telling parents about the fact that their daughters might be roomed with a biological boy. So this proposal from Warren would turn all of that sort of thing that has been happening already into requiring it to happen everywhere nationwide all at once.
What has been the status of that movement within our public school system for the last 3 years of the Trump administration?
So let's back up a little bit. I don't think you can understand what Trump has done without understanding what Obama did. So we have right now a federal law called sometimes Title IX that applies to public schools as well as higher education, basically any education institution that takes federal funds. So that includes colleges. And so that law pretends, it actually creates preferences for women. So for example, if in things like athletics, so for example, if you just simply have in a community more interest, boys have more interest in sports overall on average, communities have been required to cut those boys' sports if they don't have enough people, enough boys playing as girls, even though maybe the girls aren't as interested as the boys, depending on where you are. So that existing law, the Obama administration, it prohibits sex discrimination. So discrimination on the basis of sex. So obviously the idea of it is, you know, you can't do something to a girl that you wouldn't do to a boy. And of course, like I said, that law has been mangled to actually give girls more advantages than boys have, but let's not talk about that right now. So what the Obama administration did was take that word sex and then write a regulation claiming that sex actually includes the concept, the new concept that has emerged since that 1973 law passed of gender identity. So it basically said this well-understood word that replies to male and femaleness also includes people pretending to be what they are not. Yeah, so it took basically that word sex that is very specific about what we are as men and women or boys and girls and turned it into its opposite, you know, to say something that you feel that you are regardless of what your actual sex is. And so then it issued this regulation that it required public schools to follow, basically, you know, so requiring them to do these things that I've mentioned, put transgender boys on the girls' athletic team in their sports facilities, their locker rooms, so on and so forth. But the Obama administration did that completely without an act of Congress. And when the Trump administration came into office, they basically just undid that rule and said, you know, schools don't have to do that. But in the interim, I mean, which was planned by, you know, LGBT activists, in the interim, the fact that the Obama administration had made this regulation was used as the foundation for a number of court cases across the nation that have now basically created a number of different precedents that reinforce what the Obama administration did, even though the Trump administration has technically repealed it. So even though public schools technically don't have to put boys in girls' locker rooms, because of these court cases and inaction from state and federal lawmakers to clarify the law explicitly, we still have the situation as if Obama's regulation were in place when it's really not anymore.
And you say that this is due to the education profession's extreme leftism. What are you talking about there?
This is not just a regulatory thing. I mean, so there's kind of, I mean, there's a number of course factors going to all kinds of big social changes like this. And so one of them is that the Obama administration, I mean, we had a very far left president in power and he used his power to advance his agenda. I mean, that's what a, you know, president gets to do. And so he did that through the policy, through using regulations. But I mean, even if Obama hadn't passed those regulations, or even though that Trump has repealed them, the culture in schools is farther left than it is in the average culture. So they are implementing these sorts of things regardless of whether there is a federal regulation, and they would continue to do so even, you know, they have been continuing to do so even though technically Trump repealed it. So, I mean, we've been seeing the spread of this sort of thing, all these cases popping up, you know, over and over again. Basically, a lot of schools have already passed these policies and parents don't learn about it until it directly affects their kids, you know, and their kids say, hey, mommy, you know, there was a boy in my locker room today, there was a girl in my locker room today, or somebody takes away an athletic title from a girl, so on and so forth.
And you are at pains to point out that no public school has ever undone these policies once they have been implemented at the grassroots level.
Right. And so, I mean, I failed to mention in answering your previous question, but the education profession, I mean, for 30 to 50 years, there has been documented, you know, surveys, voting records, declarations of their political affiliation. Teachers are farther to the left than the average American, and by a very large margin. You know, it's not just 2 or 3 or even 5 points. It's 10, 15, 20 points. And if you look at surveys of professors in college universities, typically education professors are the farthest left. I mean, these are, you know, people who you'll find enough openly declared Marxists to count them as, you know, a percentage kind of thing going on. So because, I mean, that's just the sort of social situation. These are the people, you know, getting jobs. These are the people moving, you know, over the years up the career ladder, becoming administrators, so on and so forth. I mean, so then what you have is we have this lopsided situation where the people in charge of these policies support them full-heartedly. They think they are civil rights. You know, they think that they're justice, that they must be enacted. And so they do go ahead and enact them. And then, you know, when parents and find out, they also quickly find out that they have very little ability to affect the outcome. And so, I mean, again, I mean, I would love to hear from anyone that there has been any local school district where parents have got, you know, heard about this happening in their classroom and have gone to the school board and have gotten any changes. But I have, I mean, I've been, you know, asking for that and following this for several years now, and I have not aware of one instance where that's the case. And I have a track record of paying attention to that sort of dynamic. It's not just with these sorts of highly charged, highly personal sexual issues. It's just the case that, I mean, so I wrote an entire book about Common Core and followed that very closely for many, many years. And it was the same thing because, I mean, what I learned from reporting closely on that is basically that the nation's education system is no longer locally controlled. It really is able to be controlled from the top down from the U.S. Department of Education. And public schools are really held captive to, you know, central planners who do not agree with what local communities want for their kids. And so we have this vision, you know, we think of local schools, but our local schools really aren't that locally controlled anymore. They're more like outposts for a big national chain that's controlled from the top down. And I wish it weren't the case, but that's just the way that American, I mean, and if you look at, you know, if you read political science books about every other aspect of government, it's the same way. The nation has, you know, just become radically centralized over time. And that means that normal people like you and I, we have very little ability to change the policies that deeply affect our kids, such as the sorts of thing happening with our kids, these LGBT policies.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist. She's author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Elizabeth Warren Wants to Trans Public Schools Harder Than Obama Did. You can read it and purchase The Education Invasion at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Joy, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you.
When we come back, it's Reformation Week here on Issues Etc. We do a series every Reformation Week called Paths to Lutheranism. The series begins with a path from Catholicism, Baptist theology, and liberal Lutheranism to the Lutheran confessions. Our guest will be Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
You know what lasts forever? God's Word. Everything else fails, but not His Word. It holds and delivers exactly what He promises. His Word is so solid and lasting, you can build your life and hope of eternity on it. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. It all starts Reformation Day, October 31st. Learn more at thewordendures.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you living in central Iowa and longing for a church where the gospel is boldly confessed in all of its purity? Are you tired of hearing the latest purpose-driven How to Live Your Best Life Now TED Talk? Are you desperate to hear the preaching of the cross, which brings you and your children the knowledge, peace, and comfort of the gospel? Then come to Holy Cross Lutheran Church. Located in Carlisle, Iowa, at the southeast corner of Des Moines, we're a short ride from everywhere in the city. Visit our website, holycrosscarlisle.org.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.